Last night, the 20th juz was recited in the Taraweeh. At the end of the 19th juz, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked the question that, أَعَلَّهُ خَيْرٌ أَمَّا يُشْرِكُونَ. Is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala better, or those whom they ascribe as partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? In the first ruku, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentioned certain of His qualities and doings in which the idols and others that have been ascribed as partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have no share and are not partner to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in any of these things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, is the one who created the heavens and the earth and sent down for you from the heavens water, and thereafter growed and brought to life gardens of great splendor. You are unable to cause the trees of these gardens to grow. And further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, who is that being who has made the earth stable and firm for you? You are able to love, to stay on it. And He has made in between, on the earth, rivers. And He has put on the earth huge mountains. And He has created and put between the two oceans a barrier. Is there any deity with Allah? Who is the one who answers the distressed person when he calls unto Him? And He removes difficulties and makes you vicegerents on the earth? Who is the one who guides you in the darknesses of the land and the sea, and sends down the rains, bringing glad tidings before His mercy, before rain comes? And who is the one who created the creation the first time, and then He will repeat it? And who provides for you from the heavens and the earth? And every time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks, أَإِلَاهُمْ مَعَ اللَّهِ, is there any deity with Allah? The mushrikeen will be forced to accept that this, all of these actions and all of these are only carried out by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and there cannot be any deity with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings the picture of when the world will come to an end. يَوْمَ يُنْفَخُ فِي الصُّورِ فَفَزِعَ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ. When the trumpet will be blown, then whoever is in the heavens and the earth, they all will become startled and will become worried, and they'll be parishan. So this will be the first blowing of the trumpet, and then the second time the trumpet will be blown. Everybody will lose, life will come to an end, everybody will die. And then after some time passes, the third time the trumpet will be blown, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring everyone back to life again. And then on the day of Qiyamah, مَنْ جَاءَ بِالْحَسَنَةِ فَلَهُ خَيْرٌ مِّنْهَا. Whoever has brought a good deed, then Allah will grant him much better than that. Here the word that has been used is جَاءَ بِالْحَسَنَةِ, to bring a good deed. Not مَنْ عَمِلَ الْحَسَنَةِ, not just to do a good deed. To do a good deed, this is not sufficient. But after doing the deed, a person has to do it first of all with all its qualities for acceptance, ikhlas, etc. And thereafter it has to be preserved. He has to look after it, not, so to say, not lose it along the way, and bring it in the akhirah. Then he will get a much better reward than what he has done. وَمَنْ جَاءَ بِالسَّيِّئَةِ, and those who have brought wrong, bad deeds, and their bad deeds are more than their good deeds, then فَكُبَّتْ وُجُوهُهُمْ فِي النَّارِ, they will be slammed on their faces in the fire of Jahannam. Allah Ta'ala protect us. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should announce to the people that I have been only commanded to worship the Rabb of this city who has made it sacred, that is Makkah Mukarramah, and to whom everything belongs. وَأُمِرْتُ أَنْ أَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ, and I have received the command that I should remain and be from those who submit. وَأَنْ أَتْلُوَ الْقُرْآنَ, and that I should make tilawat and recite the Qur'an. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was commanded to recite the verses of the Qur'an out to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and also to make tilawat, as we understand, to recite of the Qur'an. As was explained, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, nobody can have more responsibilities, more work than him. But despite this, the command is given to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to make tilawat of the Qur'an. This shows the importance of tilawat, and it should be a part of our daily lives. Then the next surah is Surah Al-Qasas. Qasas means the incidents, due to the various incidents that are mentioned in the surah. And almost the whole surah is regarding different incidents of the life of Musa alayhi salatu wassalam. The surah was revealed towards the end of the Makki period, just before Hijrah, and drawing parallels between the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the life of Musa alayhi salatu wassalam. That's just like how Musa alayhi salatu wasalam had to undergo lot of difficulty and persecution from even before he was born. Similarly, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam underwent lot of persecution and difficulty in Makkah Mukarramah at the hands of the Quraysh. And then Musa alayhi salatu wasalam had to flee and run away from Egypt after the incident of him killing the Coptic, as will come further on. So in a similar way, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam also had to make hijrah from Makkah Mukarramah and leave his birthplace, his homeland, Makkah Mukarramah. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought Musa alayhi salam back to Egypt and then back to the land of his forefathers, that is Al-Ardul Muqaddasa, the promised land and the pure land of Sham. In a similar way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving tasalli and consolement to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that you will also one day be brought back to Makkah Mukarramah. And as we have seen, that in many, many surahs and many paras of the Quran, the incident of Musa alayhi salam time and again has been mentioned. And obviously the Quran being the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, every time it is mentioned, it's not void of hikmat and wisdom and lessons that we need to derive from it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned it for the great lessons that we should take from it. Some of these lessons that the ulama explain, one is to understand the qudrat and power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That in front of the qudrat and power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nothing can stand. When all the plans of the whole world come in front, and then the plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reign supreme and will overpower all other plans. Fir'aun had made elaborate plans to save and protect his kingdom, killing thousands of the Bani Israel, babies of the Bani Israel. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in his unique way, made it such that one child that Fir'aun was searching for, that one child Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought right into the palace of Fir'aun, caused him to grow up in the palace of Fir'aun. And in fact, Fir'aun had to take the responsibility of bringing him up. So in front of all the plans in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's plannings, nobody's plan can stand. Similarly, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, just like how the Bani Israel had given taklif and trouble to Musa alayhi salam and the different difficulties they had to undergo at their hands, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is also being given tasalli and consolement that after Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would make hijrah to Medina Munawwara, then there would be the munafiqeen, the Jews, etc. And they would also cause different types of difficulties to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the incident of Musa alayhi salam's mother placing him in the box, this is mentioned. And then the incident of when Musa alayhi salam killed the Coptic once when he entered the city and he found that there was an Israeli from his clan and a person from the people of Fir'aun that were arguing. So Musa alayhi salam went to help the person from his own tribe, and Allah had granted him immense power. So he gave one shot to the person from the tribe of the Fir'aun's people, and this person then by the force of the blow he passed away. So Musa alayhi salam was regretful over what had happened. He turned in repentance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the next day he found the same person from his own tribe was again arguing and fighting with another person. So Musa alayhi salatu wasalam told him, it seems that you are the wrong person and you are always looking to cause trouble. So this person now, he let out the secret. He saw Musa alayhi salam advancing towards him, and he thought that today I'm going to get a shot from Musa. So he said that, oh Musa, do you want to be an oppressor on the land, and you don't want to be from those who set things right? And he gave out the secret that, do you intend to kill me as you killed as you kill a person yesterday? So once the news was out, then Musa alayhi salam was very apprehensive what is going to happen. And then a person came and informed Musa alayhi salam that they were planning to kill him. So Musa alayhi salam had to flee and run away from Egypt. He went, and as he was leaving and setting off towards in the direction of Madian, which is a great distance from Egypt. Nowadays, if a person has to travel, he'll go by plane, it will take him 1-2 hours. So Musa alayhi salam made dua to Allah, Ata Rabbi ay yahdiyani sawa as-sabil. It's hope my Rabb will guide me towards the right path. Then Musa alayhi salam, as he came to Madian, alone in a strange land, not having anything, not having any support, not knowing anyone. So he was taking rest in the shade of some trees and close to a watering place where people would come and draw water for the animals. So he noticed that there were two girls that were standing on one side and were not going forward to water their flock of sheep. So Musa alayhi salam asked them, what is the matter? So they said that, first of all, we are here because our father is an old man, meaning our father would have normally done this work, and as women we are not supposed to be out of the house, etc. They gave the excuse why they were there. So the reason we are here is because our father is an old person, and we are unable to give water because the other shepherds are crowding around and they don't give us a place, and they are obviously men, so they are much stronger than us. So Musa alayhi salam then drew water for the two of them and gave them the water, and then he made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rabbi inni lima anzalta ilayya min khayrin faqir. Oh my Rabb, verily I am in need, faqir. I am totally in need of the good that you will send to me. This is a very beneficial and proven effective dua that Musa alayhi salam came. He was a stranger. He had no home, no food, no money, no clothes, no money, etc. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after he made this dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provided for him accommodation, place to stay. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him a means of livelihood. He got a job. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provided for him a wife and a partner. And also he got nubuwat after that. So our elders have also prescribed a person who is seeking to get married, then he should recite this dua. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will provide for him. So after the girls returned home earlier than usual, then their father asked them the reason they had come back so early. So they explained, and the father then said, this is a strange person, you should go and call him. So they went and called Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, and Musa alayhi salam, on coming to the father, explained his whole incident, who put him at ease and said, now you are safe and free from the oppressive people. Then one of the daughters told the father that, oh, our father, you should employ him. Inna khayra man ista'jarta al-qawiyul amin. The best employee is the one who is strong and trustworthy. As was mentioned in the incident of Yusuf alayhi salam, these are two qualities a person should look for whenever employing someone, delegating work to someone. One is the person should be strong, meaning he should be able to carry out the task and the duty that is going to be assigned to him. And the second is he should be trustworthy. So how did they know that Musa alayhi salam was strong? It's mentioned that Musa alayhi salam single-handedly lifted up the cover of the well, whereas a group of people would be required to lift it up. So they understood his strength. And secondly, his trustworthiness. It is mentioned that when they came to call Musa alayhi salam to go back with them to their father, so then Musa alayhi salam walked in front of the girls so that his gaze doesn't fall on them. And in order to show the way, he told them that just throw a pebble, a stone, in whichever direction, whichever turn I have to take. So from this they understood the trustworthiness of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions how Musa alayhi salam was offered by the father to get married to the daughter, one of the daughters, and Musa alayhi salam got married to the daughter and served and stayed in the khidmat and company, in the service of the father for a period of time. And after that, Musa alayhi salam then left to go back, either he was going back to the land of his forefather Sham, or maybe he was going back to Egypt, and he got lost on the way, and Allah ta'ala mentions the incident of how he got nubuwah. And then further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions different incidents of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam and was Fir'aun. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also mentions the ayat, إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءَ. That, O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you are unable to give hidayat to whomsoever you wish, but Allah is the one who guides whomsoever He wishes. This ayat was revealed on the occasion when Abu Talib, who had helped and assisted Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tremendously with his wealth, with his providing support and helping him, but he passed away without iman, as that was in the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he won't get iman. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam naturally was very grieved at this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then informed Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that hidayat is solely in the hands of Allah. Allah grants hidayat to whomsoever He wishes. We should also then make a lot of shukr that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen and given us hidayat and iman. Then further on, the incident of Qarun is mentioned. Qarun was the cousin of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam and was, according to some relations, appointed over the Bani Israel. Just like how colonial people from amongst those whom they want to rule over, they choose few people who will be their agents and appoint them over them. So in a similar way, Qarun had sort of some authority over the Bani Israel. When Musa alayhi salam became a Nabi, and now he was becoming the leader of Bani Israel, then obviously Qarun couldn't take this, couldn't stomach it, and he started to have jealousy of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. And then Musa alayhi salam gave the command that you have to take out from your wealth and give zakat. This Qarun couldn't accept this at all. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions his incident. Allah ta'ala speaks of the wealth that Qarun had been blessed with. Allah had granted him so much of treasures that, leave alone the treasures, just the keys to all of these treasures were so heavy and so abundant that a strong group of people were required to carry it, and this would weigh heavily on them. So just the keys would be heavy for a group of people to carry. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that Musa alayhi salam told the people told Qarun that لا تفرح, do not be proud, boastful, arrogant. إن الله لا يحب الفرحين. Allah doesn't like those who are proud and boastful. And seek in what Allah has given you. Seek the life of the akhirat. Make an effort and try and acquire the akhirat through the wealth which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. ولا تنس نصيبك من الدنيا. Don't forget your portion of the dunya, meaning whatever your needs and necessities and rights of the dunya are concerned, that is fine, you can fulfill that. But seek the akhirat. وأحسن كما أحسن الله إليك. How Allah has been kind to you, He's given you so much of wealth, you also be kind to people, and do not seek to cause corruption on the land. Allah doesn't like those who spread corruption. So Qarun said very arrogantly, proudly, that إِنَّمَا أُوتِيتُهُ عَلَىٰ عِلْمٍ عِنْدِي. All of this wealth that I have been given, I have got it on the basis of my knowledge, on the basis of my know-how, my acumen, etc. There's many people who have been blessed with wealth, and they forget that the wealth is given to them by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They feel that they have acquired it because of their abilities, their capabilities, their experiences. You know, we were so down and we done this and this is how we came up. But it's all from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala says that, do you not see that Allah has destroyed before Him many nations who were stronger, much more stronger than Him, and had much more wealth and were much more in number than Him. And one day Qarun came out to his people in all his splendor, pomp and glory, and those people who were desiring the world, their mouths started dripping, seeing this wealth, great wealth of Qarun, and they said that Qarun is very, very innahu ladhu hadhin azim. He is a very fortunate person. But those people who were given ilm, who were given the understanding of deen, they knew that this world, this is temporary, this is not the right thing, this is not the real thing. They said, waylakum, thawabullahi khayrun. The thawab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is much better if a person has iman and he does good actions. The akhirah, this is the real life. وَلَا يُلَقَّاهَا إِلَّا الصَّابِرُونَ. Nobody can get this except the one who is steadfast and exercises patience. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused Qarun to sink into the ground. With his house, he was made to sink into the ground, and there was nobody that could save him from the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those people who had just yesterday been desiring to be in his place, now they understood and realized, and they said that وَيْكَأَنَّ اللَّهَ يَبْسُطُ الرِّزْقَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ وَمِنْ عِبَادِهِ وَيَقْدِرُ. Oh, it seems that it's really true that Allah is the one who extends and grants lot of provisions to whom He wishes and constricts provisions from whom He wishes. So everything is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لَوْلَا أَمَّنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْنَا لَخَسَفَ بِنَا. If Allah had not favored us, then He would have also sunk us with Qarun. وَيْكَأَنَّهُ لَا يُفْلِحُ الْكَافِرُونَ. Those who are ungrateful and those who disbelieve, they will never be successful. Allah Ta'ala says, تِلْكَ الدَّارُ الْآخِرَةِ نَجْعَلُهَا لِلَّذِينَ لَا يُرِيدُونَ عُلُوًا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فَسَادًا. That is the life of the abode of the Akhirat. The Akhirat, نَجْعَلُهَا, we make it exclusively and only for those people, لَا يُرِيدُونَ عُلُوًا, who do not seek to be high in this world, وَلَا فَسَادًا, and do not seek to cause corruption. Person doesn't have pride, he doesn't have arrogance, he has humility, and he submits in front of the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the one who will be successful in the akhirat. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الَّذِي فَرَضَ عَلَيْكَ الْقُرْآنَ لَرَادُكَ إِلَى مَعَادٍ. Verily, that being who has stipulated upon you the Qur'an, he will definitely return you to the place of return. This ayat, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was leaving Makkah Mukarramah, and looking back at Makkah, his heart was very sad, grieving that he's leaving such a, the best, most beloved place to him, the beloved place to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala is consoling Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah will return you. Allah will return you to the akhirat. Allah will also return you back to Makkah Mukarramah. And then the surah ends with the ayah that وَلَا تَدْعُ مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَٰهًا آخَرٍ. The da'wah towards Tawheed. Do not call unto any deity with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is none worthy of worship. Everything will perish except the being of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything will come to an end. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remain. We should attach ourselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The last surah which was recited is the first half of Surah Al-Ankabut. Ankabut means the spider. Later on, towards the end of the surah, towards the end of the para, the example of the web of a spider is given. This surah is also known as Surah Al-Ibtila, the surah of trials and tests, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of the trials and tests that a person will have to go through. Life will not always be smooth sailing and easy going. But Allah ta'ala says, أَحَسِبَ النَّاسِ أَن يُتْرَكُوا أَن يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ. Do people think they will be left to say, آمَنَّا, we believe, and they will not be put to test? They will definitely be tested. وَلَقَدْ فَتَنَّ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ. We had tested and we had tried the people before them. And Allah ta'ala does this here so that Allah ta'ala can make apparent who is truthful and who is false in his claims of iman. So definitely tests will come upon a person. Then Allah ta'ala mentions incidents of the different Anbiya alayhi salam. They were also tested. Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, 950 years he invited his people. So much of difficulty they caused to him. Only a few accepted. That he went through so much of tests. But at the end, those who are steadfast and who obey Allah, they are successful. Those who disobeyed Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, they were drowned. And then the incident of Ibrahim alayhi salam, he also went through so much of tests. At the end, he was successful. Allah ta'ala protected him. And then the other Anbiya alayhi salam, Lut alayhi salatu wasalam, what test he also went. His whole nation was involved in the act of sodomy. And Lut alayhi salatu wasalam was threatened. His people threatened him, we'll expel you from our place, we'll stone you. He went through tests, but he was steadfast. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected him. Allah destroyed the rest of the people. And then the incident of Shu'aib alayhi salatu wasalam is also mentioned. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the end says that the example and the similitude of those who hold on to other than Allah as helpers, as assistants, كَمَثَلِ الْعَنْكَبُوتِ, is like the spider. The spider builds a house, a web, but the weakest of homes is the home of the spider. It can't protect it from the elements. A strong gust, a gust of wind will come and destroy the house of the spider. So in a similar way, those who call on, those who hold unto other than Allah as helpers and trust and rely on them, they are holding on to something very, very weak. Person should put his trust and reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He should obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Connect himself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is much, much more better. Allah is the only one that can help a person and save a person. Allah ta'ala grant us the correct understanding.